Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, author of the Prayer Prescription Series, creator of Uprooting Our Fear of Death and Bringing Death Out of the Closet, and also the host of this radio program. My guest this evening is Joan Adams, and Joan and I began this program, this show, 5 years ago. We called ourselves Moon, Moo, and You and the Collective Wisdom. I was new, of course, that was after my dog Mukunda, and Joan was Moon, and this is the names we used to, we've kind of entered the internet with these names because we, I don't know, did we want to be, did want anybody to know who we were, Joan? Joan, hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hello, darling, how are you?
I don't even know why we did that. I have no idea why we did that. I think we were just trying to come up with a catchy name because I was using Moonvine everywhere.
And you're not anymore, I guess.
I am some, but mostly just on Twitter. I'm still Moonvine.
Yeah.
I have forgotten to turn my volume down. It's been a long time.
I guess I better do the same. So I was Mukunda on... and if I would have known any better, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just gone with Kate Loving. I think it's just that when we got online, we were experimenting wildly, just like I do almost with everything I do until I settle down.
Well, I think that's the only way that's the only way you learn the internet. I think, too, those were our names on Second Life.
Yes. And Second Life was really unusual. Didn't it sort of set the tone for the way we do online work, even to this day? You know,
I am just thankful we did that, and I don't ever hear anybody even talk about it anymore. I don't even know if it exists anymore. But it was a real strange, let's say unique, way to get to know people because you had your own... what do you call those things?
They were actually avatars.
And we were walking around in a community and talking to each other and going to meetings and whatever. I was just fascinated with it. And totally fascinated with the idea, and still am, that that there were handicapped folks who participated in that who, say, couldn't walk, and then after that experience they could. It's like retraining the brain. I hope somebody's doing something with that.
Gosh, I think I wrote something about that somewhere. It's on the internet somewhere. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really
interesting. When you think about that, it had a quality of, remember, Karen Kay is how we met Karen, and she's on Squidoo, and she's a friend of ours. And dear
Kathy
little
Rogers.
Oshina. And I was still in touch. I even met her in person. She came to Lancaster because her daughter was going to an art school here.
Oh, how fun!
She was just so precious, and still is. Still is. And of course, you and I met face to face, and that was really, really cool, wasn't it?
That was. Good.
What happened
that
is
cool.
I went to see Joan, and Joan had and her sisters invited me to. A family reunion, the Tate family reunion. And I was there for, 4 or 5 days and met the family and met the whole family and learned about the South, which is something that I've always wanted to learn about. And
that's
about,
called being totally immersed, Kate. You were totally immersed.
Oh, my gosh, yes, that's what it was. Immersion. immersion, yes. And then the whole thing ended up with going to a beautiful, beautiful island where the alligators lived. And I never saw one of those in my life. And they are very unusual, to say the least.
Yeah, that's cool. I love to watch them. And you say watch them, and alligators don't really do much. But you do watch them, you know? You really do. You stand there and look at them like you think they're going to do something. But
how did we bring that one out of the water? We brought the one out of the water?
Yes, you did, with the music. You went out on the deck of the house. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And that was right when you first got your iPhone. And you had that iPhone, you hold it up in the air, playing classical music, and all of a sudden she came up out of the water. Like in one fell swoop, she rose out of the water.
She rose up
beautiful.
In some kind of primordial essence, you know.
Have you seen the thing, and it's been on Facebook the last 2 or 3 days, the birds on the wire? And somebody has taken a photograph of the birds on the wire and converted that to musical notes.
Sweet.
And I'm telling you.
Sweet.
Yeah. There's something about music and nature combines beautifully. I don't understand it at all. But that alligator came up out of that water. She sure did.
Wow.
She
and
responded.
Then there was a story, too, about my husband and I going and staying at a beachside, the oceanside. We were in a condominium about five stories high and in Rehoboth Beach. And I played my violin some chants, Yogananda chants. Yeah. Paramahansa Yogananda wrote the autobiography of a yogi. And I was, I've always been very deeply aligned with his work and the work of, you know, self-realization fellowship. But there's these chants that I had learned on my violin. So I played one, and all of a sudden 200 or more dolphins came over to exactly where we were located. And my husband loves to swim with the dolphins. So I played and played and played, and he ran down and went out and hung out with them for a while. And then as soon as I stopped, they dispersed. Unbelievable. Really very cool.
And again, it's that whole musical connection thing. And there's something almost magical about it.
Yeah.
You know?
There's
something beyond anything we can understand about that.
It really is mysterious.
Mm-hmm. And I hope, again, that somebody's doing some research. I would love to see some real scientific research on that, but that's two examples we know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a show with a guy who was fabulous, Kate, when, and he played the music for Mother and Child. Do you remember that?
Oh, that, yes. Klaus D. Jensen, yes. Well, in fact, he's the music I play. He's the composer of the music I played at the beginning and the show, yes. And he plays his music in units where women are trying to keep a hold of their babies. It's like preterm labor patients. And they're not, all they do is listen to this music. They're not really encouraged to watch television or get on internet. It's just that they meditate on this music that he has composed and that I play on this radio show. And it has really saved a lot of pregnancies. So that was interesting.
There's power in music we don't even know.
We haven't
begun to explore. It's kind of like the dolphins, and I believe with all my heart we don't know a pinky's full of information about the dolphins and their intelligence.
Oh, they're so much more intelligent. They have, there's just so much that there has been a lot of research done on the dolphin. And one thing that always stood out in my mind was that they always die a conscious death. They die when they consciously will themselves to die. Whereas I think humans are basically lost for the most part. I mean, there's a lot of people who are really trying to bring up the vibrations of the planet, but I just think that how many people do you know or do I know who actually die a conscious death? We don't. We don't know.
Well, you say that, but then again, you hear over and over again of couples where one dies and then the other one dies right next, you know, the next day or the next week. And that, yeah, I think that's kind of a will thing. It's a giving up and a saying, you know, I'm ready to go now. A release.
Exactly.
I think, too, I think about our mom had Alzheimer's, as you know, for many years. And when our younger sister married, they went from between the wedding and the reception, she and her husband went by the nursing home so Mama could, quote, see her in her dress. Well, we didn't know whether that would register with her or not, but it did, and she died 2 days later.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
gosh.
Yeah, you know, like she knew at some level her baby girl was okay,
you know,
was married to someone Mama loved already. So, yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
It
and
is.
Interesting to think about, really. But I think we do have some say in that. I'm not sure we don't have a whole lot of say about it, that, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think you're right. If you consciously, saying that the dolphins consciously choose their moment of death, I suppose if we believed we could, we would.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Although it does make you wonder, because we have this survival instinct. I always go back to the prisoners of war, you know, the concentration camps and that kind of thing, and some of those people survived in spite of everything. So,
yes.
You know, that survival instinct is there, you know.
Yes, and the ones who gave up, well, you know, that was a very tough time because, that was tough. I think, though, that there is a lesson there in that if you keep your will to live uppermost in your mind, you will survive.
I think there's some of that.
In the physical. In the physical.
And I think there's a balance in there, too, between choosing a time to go and choosing to stay.
Right.
And I think we make that choice, consciously or unconsciously. We make that choice every day, do we not?
Yeah. We do, don't we? Every day is a new day strengthening that will to live and having enthusiasm and cheerfulness and being kind to others and all that kind of great stuff.
Yeah, we feed ourselves the positive things. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that you and I started this show on my birthday, since this is my birthday. And since then, or even before that, I would do things on my birthday like yesterday was my birthday, and I published a book that has been a manuscript that's been lying on my bookcase for 17 years. And it's really been a dream come true to publish that book. I published a bunch of other books too, but this one.
That's what I was going to ask is what number is this in the prayer series?
Well, let's see. It could be number 8 in the prayer series, but there's 3 other books that I've been published in that. Pat O'Brien book had me in a chapter in his book, and there's 2 others, and another one coming out. But
who would have believed that, Kate, 5 years ago?
I know. No, never. But this book in particular, speaking of animals, has to do with it's like a memoir of my 60s escapades with a bunch of dogs who were very much guardian angels, and because we were like wayward children, and these dogs led us out of a lot of trouble. However, when we moved to a commune, we were kind of communal anyway, but then we moved to a commune here in Lancaster County, and our neighbor who hated hippies shot all of our dogs. Now, that was really tough to take, and I explain the whole situation from beginning to end, and I think it's a good read. So I think that, yeah.
That will be a good read. I had always thought that happened to you out west. I didn't realize that happened right there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the stories that I tell do have to do with traveling through Canada, living in San Francisco, and then coming here and living here for a while with what whom I call commune comrades. And then the breaking up of that and having to enter the world of jobs and education and stuff like that. But I think that a lot of people have situations in their own lives where animals have been tragically killed, maybe before, like children have seen a lot of terrible things about animals as they've been growing up. And a friend of mine, I think, who I'm pretty sure she's listening now, Samantha, said that when she was a young girl, a member of her family or a close member of the family, or no, it was a neighbor, sorry. It was a neighbor who poisoned a bunch of her dogs with cut glass. And,
oh, gosh.
You know, and to think that children have to, let alone people at any age, have to witness this sort of thing is really tough. Like recently we had a situation in Lancaster County where a gentleman shot a horse. He shot an Amish horse. The Amish horse was carrying a buggy, you know, with Amish people with the whole family in it taking the people home. He shot the horse. The horse took the family home and died. So to me, the horse really had this sense of responsibility to bring his family to safety before he could really die himself. And, the person got away with this, and that has been recently caught. Now, the reason I bring this up is because people who kill animals like that are really sick people. And then studies have shown that people who kill dogs or cats or what have you, almost every mass murderer that has ever, let's put it this way, every mass murderer has killed animals and mistreated animals in their life. Of course not.
In their childhood especially, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like everybody who abuses animals become mass murderers. It's not, doesn't happen the other way around. So to me, it's very important to bring something like that up and out because society needs to realize that abuse of animals is a very serious precognition sort of thing that could happen to damage other people in the future, and then we need to take something like that very seriously. So that was another reason I wrote the book, yeah. And I not wrote it, but I published it because animals are so important to our well-being, and animals help us to live longer lives. They help us to feel secure in life. They help us to, lower blood pressure, prevent cancer, and all these wonderful things. And I believe that they are strategic in our ability to love and have compassion.
Oh, I do too. And they teach, that's what they teach to children.
Yes.
And children know that. If you watch children and animals, it's just an amazing thing. There's a natural bond there between them. And I really hate to see a child who's terrified of animals. Flip side of that. We used to take Hogan to the school to visit when the children were kindergarten, first grade. And we would be out in a little play area outside, fenced in area. And we'd have two or three that were literally terrified of that dog. Well, you
aww.
Met Hogan. I mean, she's the biggest baby ever was, golden retriever.
Yes.
And
yes.
She might lick somebody to death, but that's about as bad as she'd ever be. But it broke my heart. And my husband would work with those little boys especially and try to get them to at least pet her. You know, it's a shame when children are taught to fear dogs. And then the other side of that, I mean, I was bitten two or three times as a child. So if a child has been bitten by a dog who is not under control, then you understand why a child is frightened.
Yes.
So, So back and forth and roundabout with all of that. But I just think when we moved into this neighborhood, we used to laugh and say everybody had to have two kids and two dogs. And it was just about the truth. Everybody out here had two kids and two dogs. And in those days, there was no leash law around here. And a new dog came to town, they did to the neighborhood. They did just like the children did. You know, they worked their way through until they found their place in the pecking order. And it all seemed to work, you know.
Right.
That was another time in history, I guess, but it worked for us all.
How about
dogs
that one story you used to tell about a dog that had died in your family, and you were all sitting in the living room grieving? Tell us that story about the neighborhood dog.
That was Whitey's first dog he got when he lost his vision, and the dog's name was Caddy Jack. And Caddy lived inside the house with us, like all of our other dogs do. And there was another little dog in the neighborhood, a little black and white dog named Baby, who would come by to see our dogs. And Baby would knock on the door and come in and play with the dogs and get a bone. And then she would go to the door to leave, and she would scratch to leave, and she would leave like she was visiting.
Mm-hmm.
When Caddy died, and we were heartbroken, we all had a horrible time with that one. But he had run into Baby up on the golf course, and he told Baby what had happened, that Caddy Jack had died. And Kathy and I were sitting in the living room grieving, and heard a banging on the door, and went to the door, and it was Baby. And she walked in, she walked through the house, stuck her head in every room as if to check to see if it was true, came into the living room where we were, and sat, literally, almost like she was at attention, or at respect. Mm. And she sat with us 3 to 5 minutes, just sitting like an honorary kind of thing. And then she went to the door and she left. It was the most touching thing. It really was. That dog knew. She understood what he told her. She came down here to show her respect.
Yeah.
And to say goodbye her own way. I just thought that was incredibly sweet. And they do understand. I'll tell you a funny story. You know, I'm taking care of our very old, blind, deaf, diabetic poo. And honestly, this dog is giving me an education. Well, anyway, yesterday morning we were taking him to be groomed. And I made the mistake of saying to that dog, now he does not hear much, remember, but I said to him early in the morning, we're going to take you to be groomed in a little bit, you know, because he loves to go be groomed. Well, within 10 minutes, he is sitting at my feet crying. I thought, oh, Lord, he's getting sick, you know. What am I going to do? He's sick. I mean, I wait for him to be sick all the time, you know. And then it dawned on me, he understood what I said. I said, are you waiting to go be groomed? You know, and he perked up and jumping around and ready to go. I said, I am not ready. You're going to have to wait. And he laid back down, and a little bit he started crying again. I said, go down there. And Whitey took him outside and took him for a little walk and whatever until I could get ready. We were 15 minutes early. But he was so excited, he couldn't stand it. And it didn't dawn on me he would understand what I was saying, even though he could not actually hear me.
Well, those dogs are very telepathic.
Oh, definitely. I believe that after yesterday. And we got there, and he was happy as a lark.
That was adorable.
Isn't that precious?
Yes.
He loves to be beautiful. You know, poodles are so vain.
Quick question, does Betty have a 678 area code?
She's 706, but she does have a cell phone, and I don't know what one is, so that may be Betty.
Let's see who this is. Hello there, and welcome. 678 area code? Hello? Okay. That's fine. You can just listen. Listen, that's fine. I'm just going to put you on hold. Betty is doing well with her retirement. That's wonderful.
Yes, she is, and we are working on a series of books. And
we'll have those.
Yeah, we're excited. We're inspired. You've got us inspired and ready to go.
Wonderful.
And,
tell us about your books.
Well, they're in the beginning stages at this point, so I don't want to say anything much.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Just an idea. But we're excited about that. See if we can get out there on the Kindle with you, you know.
Right. We'd love to have you.
Got to jump out there. And so that'll be fun.
And you love your
Kindle. Yeah, she writes. Oh, I love my Kindle. Live with my Kindle in my hand. She's writing a lot on bubblegum, what we call, I don't know how you say that word, but it's B-U-B-B-L-E-W-S. Have you seen that?
The bubble thing, the bubbles.
Yeah, I have seen that.
I have seen it that she writes on there. That's great.
She does 3 or 4 posts a day out there. And she's just having a wonderful time with that. Same thing. And then she's going to help me get the old senior blog going again.
That blog has been
around about as long as you and I have online. And,
I know. That's wonderful.
And
It was a very popular blog, too.
It comes and goes. It's lifeafter60.com. And there's so much good stuff on that blog because it's been out there so long. And
Life after 60.com. Okay.
And it's there are wonderful articles out there, fun stuff and good senior stuff. All us old folks out there having a good time. But that's a good one to redo. And then I've got another one that I'm working on that I've had about 2 years now called Earn by Writing Articles. And and that's going pretty well, too. So, in fact, at this point, that one's doing better than the senior blog. But trying to keep them both going and learning lots of new stuff at the same time. Just exploring some more. Exploring, that's what all this is about. Internet's still a brand-new territory.
It is.
It really is.
You know, AWeber, the email service that is the most popular for getting people to join your community, and then having them, and then you set up emails for them and gifts and give them and develop relationships. Well, that whole thing was hacked, AWeber, and not only that, but
iContact.
All those email delivery systems were completely hacked this week. Now, my feeling is that they're coming back on. The good news is that they're coming back up, and I think they'll be stronger than they ever were. But there's a real kind of cyber sinister warfare that seems to be going on that, it's not helping people make money. You know, they may have been doing well, and suddenly these things happen, and all their income is taken away.
Very scary.
Yeah.
Well, I think it reminds me of the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it reminds me of being up in Second Life. We were talking about Second Life earlier, where somebody came in and hacked our island and basically destroyed it. So,
and I could not understand that. It took me, I kept asking questions about that because I thought, well, he bought it. Could somebody just take it? But that's what they did.
Yeah.
They stole
that. We never saw who they, quote, unquote, were. But there were a lot of those kind of spamming weirdo people on Second Life. And there are all over the Internet. My choice is to... You know, to me, my role on the Internet is to bring up people's vibrations, but what happens there is that you have to kind of hope that your vibrations are high enough that, well, actually, my own site was hacked. I went into my web page, and there was the devil shooting flames.
You are kidding.
Yeah, oh my God. And Charlie Leatham is my webmaster. I contacted her, and she straightened it up within 30 minutes. So I really recommend anybody who has a WordPress site, you must have a webmaster unless you are so technologically accelerated in advance that you can do it yourself. But I could not ever fix that.
Oh, I would not know what to do. Call Charlie.
Yeah, she was great.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, my gosh, I was so impressed. Very impressed. So she became a hero in my book. It didn't take her long at all. She had to go through the back door. Yeah, she figured it out. And as a result, my site is much stronger.
Oh, yeah. And she added some protection, too.
Yeah, I just think that there's all this stuff going on that we're all so naive. And suddenly we have to realize that there are sinister forces out there, and we have to protect ourselves against them. And it all has to do with this modern technological age where there was a certain name for the robot that destroyed my site, and I don't remember what it was right now, but they were very, very plentiful, and those particular forces are just malicious. They're not necessarily...
It's like knowing that we have to lock our doors at home. It's the same thing. We just have to learn how to protect ourselves online as much as we do at home. And that's just like, I think, good and evil. You know, that war goes on forever, wherever you are. So,
sites like Amazon are excellent because I think they've protected themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they have. They've done, I was talking about that yesterday, in fact, that Amazon has done a beautiful job of not only taking care of their customers and keeping the customers happy, but you think about the thousands upon thousands of affiliates who sell from there and get paid month after month. I have never known them to be late, ever.
Right.
You know, just like clockwork. I mean, their whole system is amazing if you think about it.
It is. It is. It's
and then they have people who are also sending in products. I mean, they've got suppliers who send things in to be shipped from the Amazon warehouse. It just goes on and on and on. I'm a big Amazon fan, and obviously a Kindle fan also. And I don't know if I told you, but I bought myself the little Roku so I could get internet TV for Christmas.
Oh. You did
and,
tell me, yeah.
Yeah, and got on Amazon Prime and got all hooked on the Downton Abbey.
Oh,
and,
yes, it's a wonderful show.
Oh, yeah. Just totally, totally taken with it. And I sat here and watched three seasons in a row over a period of less than 2 months. Because it was just sitting there on Amazon. I love my Amazon Prime. Anyway, enough advertising for Amazon today, huh? We've done them well. But 5 years ago, Pat O'Brien's course, we had been to Second Life, and we were finding our way around and launched out on the radio like we had good sense. I'll tell you what I was laughing about earlier today, Kate, and I don't know if you even remember this. First show, and we had friends who were, you know, nothing like your internet friends to support you through this stuff. But
2020,
we could hear you, but you couldn't see us. You remember all that?
Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing.
It was hilarious, and you talked the solid hour or half an hour or whatever it was. You kept talking, and we were having more fun chatting back and forth. Because we couldn't reach you, we couldn't show you that we were there, and it was. But the next time we got it, we had it going then. But it was.
Oh my gosh!
And
have you heard of Google Hangouts?
Yes, love Google Hangout.
Well,
in fact,
I
ordered myself a webcam this week, so I can hang
out. Would you
actually
want to be a
person?
Okay. Would you like to be on a Google Hangout?
I might do one or two now and then. I'm not going to do a bunch. I've got one regular one already.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'd love to do one now and then. I think that's fun.
It's very much
Second Life, except we're allowed to be ourselves.
I have a Google Hangout plug-in on my site, so I can hold webinars and schedule them and get them up and going. So
the very first one
I did, I had no idea what I was doing up until the second that the Google Hangout went live. All of a sudden, it blowed. Nothing went wrong. It was like a miracle, a total miracle. And I was so nervous because it seemed like the whole thing was about to collapse, and it didn't. Yeah, that Google Hangouts are really fun. Now I know how to do them. I can do them, except that now I'm trying to figure out how to create an income. Well, at least build my list. I've built my list with them, and I enjoy it. I enjoy them a lot.
Well, I was in my first one this week, and I loved it, but I was only able to watch because I didn't have a mic I was chat typing, you know. But it was fun to see their faces and chat back and forth and all of that. So,
it is.
And that's a kind of a mastermind type group. But, yeah. And that's another thing that's worth mentioning, too, and then our time's about up, is the years we spent in mastermind together.
Yes.
On the phone.
I love mastermind.
We did that for 2 or 3 years, too. And
yep.
We had Canada. I had a lady from Canada and Charlie in Australia and two in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of worldwide at that point. That was cool. And
I know.
And I learned a lot there.
I know. I don't like to get too involved with too many masterminds because it interrupts the flow of what I have to do to get stuff going, you know.
Yeah,
and I have
me
a lot
too.
Of work to do.
I can't.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of social media, too.
You can do
so much social media that you don't. You can play all day in social media and not get anything done. Heck, I can spend all day long on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know,
Facebook
and not
cool.
get a
I
blooming
like
thing
Plus
done.
Too. Google
yeah,
Plus
I'm
is
learning
great
Google
too.
Plus.
Yeah.
Google Plus is growing and becoming more popular, I think.
It is. Well,
I
we
think
probably
people
should
are starting.
Let you go, Joan, right? You need to get going. I don't want to keep you, but it was really fun to talk with you again like that.
Oh, it was wonderful. I enjoyed every minute.
I loved it. Me too.
All right.
Me too.
Congratulations. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.